Great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We trust that we're thankful for this grand and wonderful opportunity to endeavor to try to engage in the divine worship service of our true and living God. There are many things that I might like to say to you on a personal level. We'll hold those for later. I feel at this time the Lord be our helper to try to keep this preaching service going. And so I don't want to distract your mind with other things, but I'd like to draw your attention, the Lord being our helper, for just a little while to some things tonight. If you notice there in that lesson, as Brother Jerry was teaching us tonight, and our Lord said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Being born again is not an option for God's people. Every last one of them are going to be born again by the Spirit of God, whether they know it or not. And I'm thankful for that very thing. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, God the Holy Ghost, the Sovereign Holy Ghost, as our the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are unified, are in unity. And the very ones that God purposed to save and Jesus died to save, amen, will be visited sometime between conception and death by the sovereign Holy Spirit of God and be born of the Spirit of God. That is a biblical truth. This of being born again and Jesus saying you must be born again. Jesus is not giving Nicodemus an invitation here or anyone else. He is making a proclamation. Jesus is making a declarative statement. Ye must be born again in order to see and hear and understand spiritual things and to live with God in glory, heaven above, and immortal glory. That's just real plain and simple. If the Lord would help us with a seeing eye and a hearing ear and an understanding heart to understand these things. We old Baptists hold to that regeneration is an immediate, direct operation of the divine Spirit of God. That regeneration, being born from above, being born of the Spirit of God, it's a translation. It is a translating us from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is a resurrection. It's raising us from a dead state of sin and trespass, separation from God, into a state of life. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If we're risen with Christ, I tell you, every one of His people arose with Him when He arose. Every one of His people born of His Spirit have that divine work in operation. And if we come to understand that, to realize that, then we have a command to seek the Lord. And no one will seek the Lord until the Lord has first come to them. That's a plain teaching of God's Word. You came to, from an invitation or one someone telling you that you need to go to the Lord. I want to tell you, God comes to every one of His people. He comes directly to us. The Bible says the Lord found Jacob in a waste, howling wilderness. It wasn't Jacob that found the Lord. It was the Lord that found Jacob. You see, the Lord never been lost. Amen. And we've never been far as out of the Lord's knowing every one of His. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knew His before the foundation of the world. In His mind and purpose, He purposed to save His people. And Jesus, His Son, did come and saved every last heir of promise. Legally and positionally on the tree of the cross. And we rejoice in that tonight and thank the good Lord for that and for that blessed knowledge that saves us. I tell you, many of God's children are perishing in this world. They are destroyed in this world, in this time world, here the shores of time, they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There's many ways and about many different things that God's people can be destroyed for lack of knowledge. But there's so much fret, there's so much weary among God's people. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear has torment. Perfect love, what does it do? It casts out fear. You see, the more that you know about the perfect love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the less worry and fear you should have. I remember as a child being raised the way that I was in the order of people and going to the revival meetings and hearing the hellfire and brimstone sermons and all of these things. I'd see ghosts and booger bears and all those things every night at the foot of the bed. I'd pay my brother to try to sleep with me. I was afraid. I was scared, brothers and sisters. That wasn't God that gave me that. That's what man gave to me. Amen. I want to tell you, God told the old prophet, comfort ye my people. He didn't say, frighten ye my people. He said, comfort them. We are comforted. Amen. In knowing of the endless, boundless love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. All my life, I would read the scriptures. I knew no man could pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man could pluck you out of the Lord's hand. But I thought I could pluck myself out. But when I read and came to understand, that was one of the last things that really came, as Brother Jerry talked about. Why didn't I see this before? Why didn't I see it earlier? But when I realized, when it said, nor any other creature. You see, I'm a creature. And that got me right there. And that included me, that I could not take myself out of the endless, boundless, everlasting love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, we believe in an immediate, direct operation of the enlivening, life-giving of the Spirit of God by the life-giving voice of the Son of God. That is not a process. That is not a 1, 2, 3 step. It's not an ABC step. You hadn't got to do A and B and C and all of that. You don't have to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, there's no steps in those things. It's an immediate, direct operation of God. And I'm thankful for that tonight, to have that knowledge and understanding, and to know that there is one way to the Father. Amen. There's one way to heaven and immortal glory. And Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, and we read coming through Christ is actually through the drawing, John 6:44, of the Father. Amen. He draws His children through His Son to Him. Now, Jesus is the way. That's a simple little three-letter word, way, W-A-Y. And I'm about to ask you a question that may seem foolish to you, but have you ever looked up the definition of the word way? You say, preacher, we know what the word way means. That's, we used it all of our life. Well, I want to tell you, you ought to look it up. Look in the old Oxford Dictionary, and it'll help you a whole lot with that little simple word way, W-A-Y. It means the manner or the method the fashion or the design through which something is done.
Right.
I read in the scripture where it is written, for there is one God and one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. The word mediator, one of those meanings, and I believe it fits right there in the context in that, it's the means. Jesus Christ is the mediator or the means. He is the manner. He is the He is the mannerism. He is the method, if you please, through which, amen, God's people are drawn and come through by the Father, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be housed, to be made fit to live with God in glory. When Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the method, He is the mediator between God and men. Now, men is plural, and that men there, it encompasses and is talking about male or female, man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. Every heir of promise, men, plural, but this means, or this mediation, this saving, God's elect, man, woman, boy, or girl, is through the means, it is through the manner of the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's one man that is mediator. Man is singular. Amen. A singular saves plurals.
Right.
Always remember that. The singular saves plurals. The man, Christ Jesus, saves His people.
Amen.
How are they His? The Father gave them to Him.
Right.
The Father gave them to Him in the everlasting covenant of grace. They are His. Just like as the ending of the prayer the Lord taught His disciples to pray after, Thine is the kingdom. Why, Lord, Thine? He's the owner of it.
Amen.
He's the possessor of it. Why? Because the Father gave it to Him.
Right.
Daniel saw it. Daniel saw a one. He saw the Son of God come to the Ancient of Days, to the Father, and receive a kingdom. And Jesus said unto His disciples here on this earth, to those apostles, He said, as My Father hath given Me a kingdom, so give I unto you that you may sit with Me at My table. He gave first unto the church apostles. And as the apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and 19, and we are founded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. My friend, there are not ways to God. Amen. For as in a pleasing state, making us fit to live with God in heaven, immortal glory, His people. Amen. It is one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And Jesus did what was necessary, amen, in order to take care of that. When He says, it is finished, He wasn't saying, I'm finished, or my life is finished, because He rose to live again. Oh, friend, what is finished? The work that the Father gave Him to do. Amen. The worth of completion of redemption. It's the same thing as in the Revelation when the voice came forth from the temple and said, it is done. It is done and it is finished, is one and the same. So there is singular, one way, one method, and that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For there is one God. Now, if you believe there's one God, that's good. That's well. The devil believes that there's one God, and he trembles. But we not only believe that there is, but we believe in Him. Amen. We believe on that name. We have that fellowship with Him in our heart, and by His Spirit, He has revealed within us that Spirit that cries forth, Abba, Father. Whereby that we can feel from time to time. Now, I know there's many times that we feel closer to hell's gate and heaven's door, but my friend, for the times though that we're made to feel to be one of His, how sweet and how wonderful that it is to feel the communion of the fellowship by the Spirit of God in our hearts. Our fellowship with one another is because of the fellowship that we have with the Father and with His Son. You see, there's many different occupations, many different interests, many different hobbies and worship together. It's through that common knit bond by the Spirit that we have in common one with another. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Think about that. The way. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the one that calleth, the porter answereth. Amen. His Father was the porter. His Father is the husbandman. Opens to his son. Oh, because his son has a people. He has a sheepfold made up of Jews and Gentiles. He said, I have a sheep of another sheepfold to call. Amen. He is told about outside of the nation of Israel. Amen. Inclusive of the Gentiles. You say, preacher, why is that so important? Because most of us here tonight are Gentiles. Amen. That's why it's important. It's mighty important.
Amen.
And so, with Jesus' emphasis that He is the way and that He is the mediator, He's the only means between God and His people. You know, Brother Job of old, he felt something along that line. He felt that he needed a mediator. He felt that he needed one. He called him a daysman.
Right.
That he could lay one hand on God and lay the other hand on him.
Yeah.
Oh, brethren, that's what Christ is.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. In His divinity as God, truly God, but truly man. Oh, He lays one hand. You see, He's the bridge. Amen. He's the bridge. He lays a hand on the Father and lays His hand, other hand on his people. Oh, and therefore, you see, when the Father, you see, that's why on that last and notable day of the Lord, in the end of time, the day when there will not be another day after. Do you know, I don't understand why some people can't understand the last day.
Amen.
You know, the last day is the last day.
Amen.
An elementary school child can understand that.
Right.
The last is the last. That means there's no one after. No one after. The last day. Then cometh the end.
Amen.
You know, Martha knew more than a lot of preachers. She said, Lord, I know He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew it'd be the last day. She didn't know that of herself. I believe she'd heard the Lord preaching.
Right.
Amen. Of those times. Oh, that she had heard the Lord. But our blessed Lord, man, when the end comes, that last day, when there is no more, there's nothing after that. When His people are with Him, Father, I and the children, we're all here. There's not a one missing.
Yeah.
There's not a one missing. We're all here because of the way.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. The method. Oh, that was so designed. The very scheme before the foundation of the world, the very purpose of God to save a people. To me, the question is not why did God save some, why did He just fool with anybody?
Right.
Yeah, that's the question. But it seemed good in His sight. It so pleased God.
Right.
Amen. To choose out and have a people to His honor and to His name's sake. Amen. To save a people. Therefore, He chose out of that people and made a way. Amen. For their redemption. Made a way for them to live with God in glory. And so you see, after our Lord ascended back to glory then, He is this way. But after He ascended back to glory, I read in Acts the 9th chapter. When Saul of Tarsus was going down to Damascus, he had asked letters. And he had asked letters that as he went, that if he found any of this way. Notice that language there in Acts chapter 9. If he found any of this way, then he'd bind them, bring them back to Jerusalem, to persecute them, and even to martyr them and so forth. But I find that very interesting about the very language of that expression. If he found any of this way, if he found any going along after this style, after this manner, after this conduct, who is he talking about? He is talking about the followers of Jesus Christ. He is talking about them in the way, or those that are following the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples of the Lord. And they adhered to a certain method, a certain manner, a certain style, a certain lifestyle. They were first called Christians at Antioch, meaning to be Christ-like. They were learners. They were followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is who Paul was, who Saul, before becoming the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, this is who he is going after. He was going after the disciples. He was going after those that were in the way. Now, why were they in the way of discipleship? Why were they in the way of obedience? Because the way had done something for them.
Amen.
Amen. Because the way, amen, had done His work at Calvary. And He had taught while He was here upon this earth. And He had given instructions. He had laid down and said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus told them about how that their ways was hard and was burdensome and so forth. This is why the Lord teaches His people back over in Jeremiah. He said, stand in the ways. Plural. W-A-Y-S. Stand in the ways and see. Stand in the ways. Look at all the different ways. Look at them, see them, behold them. But after you've done that, ask wherein is the good way.
Amen.
Which one is the right way?
That's right.
I want to tell you the right way is in a way of obedience.
Amen.
In a way of praise.
Right.
In a way of prayer unto the Lord. You remember, and I believe it was Eleazar. Eleazar was that oldest servant of Abraham. You know, the Lord talked to Abraham talked to the Lord about making Eleazar his heir and so forth. And so I believe it was old Eleazar that Abraham commissioned to go down to seek out a wife for his master's son, Isaac. And when the Lord blessed him and prospered him in the way that he was going, he is going in a way of prayer. That was the method, the style, the mannerism that he was in. And after he had found Rebekah and she had done what he prayed about, she had given him water and then offered water to water all of his animals, he knelt down and he began to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord and said, I being in the way, the Lord hath led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, friend, you see, being in the way of praise, the way of prayer, the way of obedience. He was an obedient servant to his master Abraham. And he prayed before he began to enter Mesopotamia. He prayed to the God of his master. You see, this is where a lot of folks get so thrown off and don't understand about justification. They don't understand justification by blood, justification by faith, and justification by works. And if you don't understand those three aspects and in the context that they're in, you'll be a most confused character.
That's right.
This is why Martin Luther, in the time of the beginning of the Reformation, wanted to do away with the book of James because he couldn't reconcile the book of James with Romans and Ephesians on grace and so forth, because old brother James talked so much about works. And he couldn't rightly divide it out. So his answer was, get rid of it. Do away with James. And you know, that's been the mindset of a lot of people down through the years. You know, I can't reconcile that way. I can't understand it that way. Oh, it ain't in my Bible. Why ain't it in your Bible? I tore it out. I just went ahead and got rid of it. So it ain't in my Bible. But you see, when it says Abraham was justified by works, right in the very story that I'm in is the prime example in the teaching of the works that it's talking about in the court of public opinion before his family and his servants. Abraham was declared just.
Amen.
His works did not make him just. They declared that he was just.
Right.
And that he did justly. And that he feared God. And that's why old Eleazar prayed to the God of his master.
Amen.
Because Abraham had lived the life. Abraham had lived the life. I've always seen it amazed through life when people get in trouble. They call on that one that maybe they thought back through time, you know, was an old square, an old fashioned, an old out of touch and all. But they get in trouble. That's who they want to call to pray for them. Amen. That's who they want to call on and ask them to beg God to intercede and on their behalf and so forth because of their troubles here in this world. But Abraham, he had lived a life before that servant. And he was justified by his works in the sight of that servant. And so that old servant was going in the way of prayer. He was going in the way of obedience. And that's the way that Saul of Tarsus was going after those folks that were disciples of the way. And they were manifesting and showing that they were disciples of the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, by being in the way.
Right.
Amen. And I know that expression, in the way, has been used to mean a stumbling block. You know, back through in our society, if I should say to you, well, that vehicle down there in the middle of the road, it's in the way. In other words, it's blocking the road. It's blocking the traffic. Now, that's not the way I'm using this expression.
Right.
I ain't talking about being a stumbling block. I'm not talking about being an offense and so forth. I'm talking about being in the way, being in the style, being in the mannerism of the way.
Yes.
Being a follower of the way of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, that time went by in a hurry. It's 9:15. I tell you what, there are many more things I'd like to say unto you. And the good Lord willing, we'll say on tomorrow. God bless you.